Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
But even during those days, only those companies benefited from those flavor of the month type of things who were prepared. So idea is to be prepared. I remember one remark from Oprah Winfrey early on. I used to watch a couple of shows when I came to this country. I just wanted to pick up on the language. So I was switching channels. So Oprah was there. And she made a comment. Somebody asked her, there's a lot of discrimination in this country. I mean, it is everywhere. You know, you go right. to India, you go to any country, there is discrimination. I mean, you go to France, even if you speak French, they won't like you because they say only French people can speak French. That's what they think. You must speak better French.
Right.
So every culture has their own biases, their own snootiness. We can't take that out. However, the point is, so her comment, her reply was right on the mark. So the question was, there's a lot of discrimination in the world, at job, everywhere. What should we do? And she said, the best antidote to discrimination is excellence. Become excellent. Sooner or later, the system will relent and you will get an opportunity. So that's the point. So in the pandemic situation also, if companies used this time for inner upgrade, like you do software upgrade.
Right.
So if you have, like you are doing, if you have spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, physically, mentally, you name it. If you have upgraded yourself during this lockdown, then when things open up, you will be ready to roll. Right. Now coming to your question. And I want to link it with your other question, which was also very beautiful. The question was that if I give people freedom, they will leave me. I know a company and I can publicly name it. It's called IDEO. It's a company up in North here. And you know what their motto is? The CEO, Ted Brown, he will come to you. He'll say, Maria, did you see this ad from this company? She said, no, this is an opening which perfectly fits your profile. Go apply. I will help. I will write a good reference for you. Say, wow, you know, you are a good employee. You're performing, adding value. And this CEO comes to you, say, there's another ad from some other company. You fit, and you will not believe it. And then you will say, you know, then the good employees will leave. No, only the best employees will remain.
Yeah.
Best for that company. And if you were best for company Z, and you go there and they get the best. So overall, the whole economy benefits. Another example, I had a friend of mine who used to run an art company here. And then he once came to me, he said, Sundar, you know, you always say that I'm a small company, but I should pay for education. I even inspired him that you have few employees. If they want to go to college, pay some, you know, 50% education, you know, so that you help them. He said, but when they get your MBA, they will leave.
Right.
You know what I told him? You won't believe it. And this is no consulting fee. He only bought me a dinner. I was joking. I said, I'm a cheap kind of consultant. You know, just we will just get over lunch and then you can ask questions. So he asked me this question. You know what I said to him? I said, tell me how many employees do you have? I see. He said, I have 13 employees. I said, how many of those employees you trained yourself? He said, none. They came from elsewhere. I said, somebody else paid for their training. You are getting benefit. So yeah. You train somebody else. I said, overall economy benefits.
Well, you always say the universe keeps track, right?
So you see, then he became very happy with the answer. He said, now it makes sense.
Right.
So you have to take a larger view, not just your own business, but look at it in a cosmic sense. Take a cosmic view, like as Stoics call it, view from the above, 30,000 feet above view. Then you say, yeah, this makes sense, you know. I am benefiting from somebody else paid for training. Now, what somebody else benefit, I should be happy. So if the employees leave, fine. But those who remain will be perfectly fit for your business, for your entrepreneurial venture. I don't think that somebody has discovered a way to lure employees back. I think that if a company treated them well before pandemic, they will return.
Yeah.
You see, many employees, I'm not saying money doesn't motivate, money motivates, but many employees are not just looking for money, they're looking for recognition. They're looking for love and respect and affection. They're looking for that warmth, that family feeling. So I think that if you have those, and also the good news is everybody in the same boat. I mean, don't feel, you know, the cosmic CEO is picking on you. No, nobody's picking on you. If a company feels their employees aren't coming back, everybody. At our university, lab techs were not coming back. So I asked, what happened? There's no, he said, they are getting more unemployment than what are we paying them.
Right. Yeah, that's the same situation everywhere.
During those days when they were getting unemployed, it was like $2,400.
Yeah.
Before, after tax. And they were only getting like $50 an hour over there. Right. So four times more money for doing nothing.
Yeah. Of course, they're going to take the break and relax. Although I think people needed this break. It's good for everybody, like you said, you know, to really focus on themselves. And
everything in the universe is on the schedule.
Yeah.
We think it is early. No, nothing is early. Nothing is late.
Yeah.
When you look back and connect the dots, you say, whatever happened in my life was exactly the way and the time it should have happened.
Wow.
So one has to have that vision and cosmic understanding.
And I think this sort of leads me to the next question that I have for you, which is, and we've talked about this before, meditation and leadership. I found that meditation has helped me tremendously throughout my journey as an entrepreneur. And by my journey, I mean really managing people that were not necessarily like when I had the shoe company, I was managing people who were twice my age.
Wow.
You know, they were older than my dad, a lot of them. And then when I got into the advertising space, it was mostly millennials. So every generation is different. You have to know how to be flexible and how to motivate every type of person, I guess, besides just the generation. But I did find that meditation helped me throughout the process a lot. And I think it goes back to, again, self-realization. That's important. Once you know what you want, are you happy, then you it's almost like you perceive that happiness onto other people. And I've been in a situation where I've had a boss, my short time in the corporate world, where I had a boss that was not happy and the entire team was not happy. They were just not happy at work. So what I would like to ask you is just a little bit about meditation and leadership. Why do you think leaders today should emphasize meditating more than ever?
Good question. A question which is very close to my heart. As you know, my second doctorate was on the topic of my thesis. Second PhD thesis was on the topic of mindfulness in leadership and management. And I just edited a Routledge volume handbook on mindfulness at work. And mindfulness is, as you know, a Buddhist form of meditation, sort of.
Yes.
But let's be very clear. Many people, when you talk about meditation, they think it is an add-on, meaning you have to do everything you're doing, keep doing that, but then add on an hour of meditation. And you know, even if they go to some conference or they attend some retreat, they get excited and they continue for a couple of weeks and then they give up. The motivation lags after some time. It disappears. That inspiration is gone after that. It rears out. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what is meditation? What is the right approach to meditation so that we can understand that it is not something like an add-on? I remember a person approached a Thai Zen master and he said, Master, you always say meditation is important. We should do meditation. He said, yeah. But he said, what if somebody doesn't have time?
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, do you have time to breathe? He said, yeah. He said, that's it. Just be aware of your breath. That's meditation.
Yeah.
The beauty here is, it is good that in the beginning, somebody finds half an hour, sits in deep meditation, very good. That practice is a good discipline. But it's like anything else in life. When you are when you're a new driver, you're learning driving, you have to check everything, you know, rear view, side, everything. You do that now also, but you do it naturally. So meditation is the art of being aware of present moment. Now, the reason people talk about being aware of the breath is because you can only breathe in the present. Can you breathe in the past or future? No. So you can only breathe in the present. When you bring your awareness to breath, which is in the present, you come in the present. So somebody says, be aware of the present. It means it's a device. It's a help, aid to bring your attention back to the moment, being in the moment, as they call it in America, being in the moment. So what does it do to leaders? Well, meditation just opens up your range of vision. You are able to see more. You are able to notice more. You are able to pick up the unexpressed emotions of people because now you have become sensitive. Your reflexes have become subtle and intense, and everything becomes alive. Sometimes you feel you're walking, taking a walk in the morning, and the trees want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You have a very distinct feeling that these things are alive. They're not dead. Nothing is dead. They just have a different levels of consciousness, awareness, concentration of energy. So meditation is the art of being fully alive. Our nature is meditative, but we have forgotten. We have forgotten. When you are sitting in a certain position and you're silent, certain benediction envelops you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel auspicious. You feel auspicious. There is some auspiciousness that you feel around you. Because earlier your mind was like this.
Right.
Everywhere. What you did, you brought it back to where it's supposed to be, in your heart. And there it rests. Otherwise, as long as the mind is restless, no matter how much comfort you have around you, you will be restless. So meditation is also a way of quietening your mind, silencing the inner chatter, the traffic of thoughts inside. And just like a glass of water, when there are sand particles and you shake it, that's how our mind is. In meditation, those particles settle on the bottom and the water can be seen crystal clear. That's all.
I love the way you explain meditation. And I think it wasn't until you helped me understand that I started really implementing more in my day-to-day ritual, I call it, thanks to you. But, you know, like you said, you don't have to always sit down and spend 30 minutes in silence. And
if you can do it.
If you can, that's great. But the reality is sometimes, you know, especially when you have kids and family, you wake up and your morning never goes as planned. You know, I'm usually an early bird. I'll wake up early and I'll have my own morning rituals where I'll sit down, have my coffee and maybe read a book and then meditate and set my intentions for the day. And then I have my to-do list that sort of helps me prioritize what I'm going to focus on today. But there are days, at least 2 days out of the week, where I might not even get to it because it's just crazy. It happens. But I'll try to squeeze in a walk later on that day. And I remember you mentioned to me one time, you said, you don't necessarily have to be sitting down to be in a meditative state. You can walk and observe the trees and the birds and the, you know, the flowers. And I started doing that. And I feel like that brings some sanity into my world because I, you know, it's connecting with nature, and nature is here for a reason. And we tend to forget. And it's helping us be in the present moment, but also it is, you know, I feel like the trees and the nature, sometimes when they, you see how easily they grow. Like I look at trees and I'm fascinated by trees because sometimes some trees don't even get watered, but they're blooming and just green and big and growing. And I'm just like, you know, sometimes we just have to let go of things and not worry about every little problem. Everything will work out by itself, just like the trees grow by themselves.
Yeah.
The state of this nature is the same way. When you have good intentions and you're working on a project or you're working on a business that is the purpose for that business is to help others, everything will come together and things will work out. But you got to be in that present moment and in that sort of calm state of mind to be able to make the right decisions and not panic over every little thing or not get ahead 10 steps ahead or get stuck on the past.
Yes.
And I think as an entrepreneur, that's what, you know, I do have to credit meditation to probably, especially with the agency, because it's such a competitive space to own a marketing agency. And I think when I started implementing meditation in my day-to-day rituals, I realized that things came easily for me. Everything started happening easily because I was making the right decisions. I wasn't wasting energy worrying about what ifs.
Yes, and the what ifs.
Instead, I was perfecting my work. I was doing what I was delivering, what I had promised my clients, because I spend all my energy on that. And so, you know, I thank you for explaining the simpler way of looking at meditation as leaders. I think it's important and probably more than ever important.
Yes, now. Exactly. It's nothing to add on. It's just a way of being. You understand. Try to remember to bring your attention here and now. Try to remember. Initially, you have to remember more, but then it becomes a second nature.
Yeah.
And Maria, the only time you enjoy something, cherish something, relish something, is when you are with it. And for being with it, you have to be present. There was a great novelist, James Joyce, and he talks about a character, Mr. Huffy. And he said, Mr. Huffy lived a few feet away from himself. The guy was never home. Meaning...
I mean, that's most people nowadays. They're either in the future or the past.
They're Miss or Miss Hafiz, you know.
And when are you going to live your life and be in the present moment?
He lived a few feet away from himself. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so sad. Like, I wish there was more taught in schools about the importance of being in the present moment and how
yes.
it impacts everything, whether your relationships or with your kids, your family, your partners, friends, everybody. If you're not present, you're not being your true self. Ultimately.
You're not getting anything out of it. It's time right. wasted. It's time wasted.
But one thing that I noticed personally with meditation also is I remember there was a time where I used to, you know, seek out help and answers to my questions. Mm-hmm. In external places. And I know I've come to you many times for, I don't know what to do. Should I do this? Should I do that? And you would give me advice, but then you would always remind me at the end that I know what's best for me. The answers are within. And I just need to listen. I just need to take that time and listen to myself. And, but it becomes, you know, when you're not wired that way, when your brain isn't really necessarily trained to do that, you keep your brain follows the patterns that it's used to, you know, where you have a question and you're just like, oh my God, I need help. Who do I ask? And you ask all the wrong people except for just
silence. Those people also need help.
right. People that probably need more help than you.
More help than you.
And so this is another thing that I think it has helped me with, where if I'm stuck on certain things, even simple things like, do I hire this person or not? You know, I use my senses, my intuition a lot to make decisions,
But I think there are times where my intuition is just not there. It's like, it's confused. It's like, I don't know. I have a good feeling, but then I don't know. And it's just, and I have to sit in silence and just, or just, I throw the question out at night. I'll just before going to bed. And I'm just like, all right, let's see. Hopefully my subconscious mind will help me answer this question. And I'll either dream about it or whatever. I know, you know, it's a little weird to talk about this, but I feel like a lot of the help that we need, and as entrepreneurs, because it's such a lonely world, sometimes, you know, it's just you, yourself, and you're managing, whether you're managing a big team or a small team, it doesn't matter. It's a lonely space. Mm-hmm. But when you start tapping into the genius in you, I think that's where really magic starts happening. And I know you've always emphasized on that. And I want to thank you for that, for being the motivation behind my, my journey to find what works for me as an entrepreneur and what helps me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dima.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.